save with it. It's a membership. Uber One is it. Save on snacks for the tip. Join Uber One
and save. Order minimums apply. Percentage off discounts only available for participating stores. See uber.com/Uber One for details.
This is The Rich Eisen Show, live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Has Lamar gotten any offer sheets? Anyone coming? I know that's two questions, but...
Rich Eisen.
What's the latest there?
It is a challenging situation to read at present, Rich. The two first-round pick, a fully or nearly fully guaranteed contract.
Today's guests... MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred, Bucks linebacker Lavonte David, plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Our number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Lavonte David of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is going to be joining us in hour number three. We just had a spirited conversation over the top five quarterbacks in the AFC when Aaron Rodgers gets traded. Lamar Jackson has been tweeting up a storm, in fact, calling himself the storm.
What does that mean?
I don't know. That he's tearing things up, that he's creating havoc. I don't know. I you know, said in hour number one, if this is true, and again, the league is sending out a memorandum to teams saying don't talk to an uncertified individual named Ken Francis that's knocking on doors for Lamar Jackson, and Lamar tweeting out, you know, that this guy's never negotiated for him. That I guess Lamar is the one doing the negotiating. I just want everyone to understand, you know, that this is a bad look for Lamar if he is having somebody who doesn't know the league and the league doesn't know at all call anyone on his behalf. I always thought like he would have somebody call on his behalf, but I always thought it would be somebody that the league might know or at least know of, even if they were not certified. And I just want everyone to know I am rooting for Lamar. I want him happy. I want him healthy. I think the Colts should definitely kick the tires on him and sign him to an offer sheet. And at the very least, give the Ravens something to think about. And if they're sitting there fourth overall, and it's Will Levis's pro day today, and they're not sold on Levis because we're all assuming that if the first three go, it'll be Stroud, Young in some order. And then you've got on top of it, Anthony Richardson. And if they're not into whoever would be fourth, guess who's available for the fourth overall pick and your net pick next year? Lamar Jackson. I think the Colts should do that. Kick the tires on him and end this cycle of going, you know, one and dones, unless they love Hendon Hooker so much that they might get him later on in the draft. I'm rooting for Lamar is what I just kind of wanted to say, just in case, you know, anybody thinks that I'm unfairly criticizing the way that he's going about his business. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. If you're on hold, stay on hold. Enjoy the conversation we're about to have. I'm thrilled that he calls into this program as much as he has. He's even been here, right? We've had him in studio here, and back in the day when we were part of the DirecTV world in a studio in Lower Manhattan, he joined us there too.
And in Washington D.C.
Where I understand he offered you swag and you haven't seen it yet. I'm not going to bother this man's time. He's a busy man. He's a busy man. He sits atop the flow chart of Major League Baseball. He's the commissioner of Major League Baseball. In the aftermath of an incredibly successful World Baseball Classic in advance of opening day coming on April the 1st. He is Rob Manfred back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you today, Commissioner?
I'm just great, Rich. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, man. I got to tell you, what a heck of a World Baseball Classic we just witnessed and what we just saw. And I'm wondering how it sat with you. Commissioner Manfred.
Rich, it was fantastic from my perspective. You know, obviously the matchup at the end, you know, Japan versus U.S., great matchup. Ohtani versus Trout, unbelievable. But, you know, there were things early that I loved as well. I think, you know, Mike Trout taking a leadership role in terms of getting the very best players to participate on the U.S. team was huge for us. Some of the teams that, from countries that you don't ordinarily think of as baseball countries, actually winning games in the tournament, all great developments from our perspective. And the business piece of it, I mean, we just killed the licensing, viewership, attendance, all the way around.
And so what do you say to fans who are wondering why this happens? Why does this have to happen? And obviously fans of the New York Mets and the Houston Astros, with Edwin Diaz and Jose Altuve getting hurt significantly in these contests, might be the loudest voices in the room. What do you say to those fan bases, Commissioner?
Look, the WBC is about growing the game internationally. And, you know, if you look at the level of interest that was generated in Japan during this event, throughout the event, we had nights where, you know, over 40%, nearly 50% of the homes in Japan are tuned into the game. That's crucial for us. I mean, you can't, unless you want to be, you know, just a North American kind of domestic sport, you have to play in this international arena. In terms of the injury issue, you know, I think it's really important to focus on what the players said, to tell you the truth. I mean, after the injuries, they pointed out, look, people get hurt in spring training. You know, I mean, we don't want to see anybody get hurt.
Right.
But, you know, people get hurt in spring training, too. And I think overall, nothing in life is all good. Overall, the massive benefits of this event outweigh the problems caused by injuries.
And the players themselves were talking. I mean, Mookie Betts was saying it's one of the greatest experiences he's ever had on a baseball diamond. All that said, do you think you're going to still need to twist some arms, figuratively, for the next one, 2026? Do you think?
I actually think that the fact that players like Mookie and Mike Trout and Adam Wainwright went out and talked about this as being one of their greatest experiences in baseball, that will entice other players to participate. I also think you're going to see, particularly with respect to the U.S. team, that they're going to be looking to load up and win again. I really do believe that. You know, the baseball player is pretty competitive, Rich, and nobody likes to lose. So I think the event will continue to grow. I really do.
Well, I mean, like I was saying on my show, Commissioner, and I'll just repeat it here, Ohtani versus Trout was a bring the entire family into the room moment in my household. The entire family was there. We just called everyone in, like, let's go see this. And we were just on the edge of our seats the entire time. I mean, that's what it was.
You know, we actually had gone downstairs to get ready to, you know, go on the field and award medals. And I'm standing there and I'm literally thinking, I can't believe this is actually happening. It's like one of those things. You could not ask for a better end to the tournament.
I've got the Commissioner Rob Manfred of Major League Baseball here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about the rule changes of Major League Baseball. Which one do you think is going to open up play the most for you?
Well, I think the one that is going to have the biggest effect on offense and action in the game is actually the elimination of the shift. I think the one that is going to be the most impactful in terms of making the game more like fans want to see it is the pitch clock.
Why do you think that the pitch clock will be one that fans want to see the most?
I think it's pace of game. I think the single, you know, our fan research suggests that the single biggest issue that fans have with the product that we've put out there in recent years is, you know, long delays, lack of action in the game, the length of the game, too. And I think the pitch clock has shown really well in spring training. You know, I've met with in-person players on six clubs. You know, the player reaction to the rules has been unbelievably positive. I mean, they do have little things around the edges that we're trying to address, but nobody's saying this isn't a good idea. People think the pitch, including the players, think the pitch clock is an improvement in the game.
Well, while we're on the subject of the pitch clock, let me tell you a couple concerns that I have about it, and you just let me know if I should not be or what you're thinking is. First one about it with the pitch clock that I'm concerned about is a game is going to end on a pitch clock violation. That there's going to be an incredible contest that we're seeing play out. It's going to be a rivalry game. It could even be a playoff game. And somebody just loses their place at the moment because they're just locked in. And walk-off pitch clock violation. What are your thoughts about that, Commissioner?
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, it happened early in spring training.
Mm-hmm.
It is a possibility. I do think that there is enough flexibility in the rules, including the capacity of the umpire to rewind the clock, that, you know, that's something in a really dramatic situation. I think our umpires are really good at managing those kinds of situations.
So they have leeway to just start the clock?
They can rewind if they want to.
So is there like a hand signal for that? So I know what it is in football, what it would be.
Yeah, you'll see them put the finger up and twirl it to rewind.
Okay, and that takes care of my other concern, which is the Trout-Otani battle to end the World Baseball Classic. If there was a pitch clock, every single one of those pitches in that remarkable sequence where the tension built, the drama built, and then the pitch finally came, every single one of them would be a pitch clock violation. Is there a thought maybe to just turn it off in a save situation in any game? Is there a possibility of something like that?
Look, the most important point, Rich,
yes,
and I want to make the big point, and I've said this to the players that I've met with, you know, our feet are not in stone with respect to the pitch clock. We want to see how it, you know, we've seen it in spring. We saw it in the minor leagues.
Yep.
We've seen it in spring training. We want to see it in regular season games, particularly in situations that are high leverage. And, you know, I think we will talk about what should happen in those situations. And I think that certainly have the capacity to make adjustments on the fly during the course of the season.
But the other rules, obviously the bases are the size that they're going to be. And and the shift is going to be what it is.
Yeah, the shift's going to be what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's, and again, I want to emphasize this.
Mm-hmm.
The core of the pitch clock is going to be the core of the pitch clock. It's these things around the edges to address unique situations or particular situations, maybe is the better word, during a game. We'll continue to, you know, get input from players and talk about those.
How much pushback did you get on the shift from, say, the manager class and group? Because every single manager I've had on here, I've been trying to get rid of this shift, you know, where as a fan, you watch the game and you see a line drive to right field and it shouldn't nestle into the glove of a third baseman. You know, it should hit the turf. And then, of course, it hits the glove of a third baseman who's just perfectly positioned. And all managers have told me, it's like, too bad. Like, this is our job, is to get outs defensively. But I love it. I'm just wondering how much pushback you might have gotten from the managers.
You know what? Not a lot, to tell you the truth. I think that, you know, most our managers are kind of the mentality, tell me what the rules are, and I'm going to figure out how to give my team the best chance to win within that construct. You know, a lot of the guys managed for years and years where the shift was not that prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to do it. And I think that people do appreciate, including field managers, that the shifting had a disproportionate impact on certain types of players and a negative impact in terms of the amount of action in the game.
Rob Manfred, baseball commissioner, in advance of another playing season coming up right here on the Rich Eisen Show. A few more minutes left with Commissioner Manfred. So where do we stand on umpiring and potential automation of it? Where might that stand right now as we talk?
Well, you know, we're continuing to test in the minor league two versions of the automated system. One version, the umpire wears an earpiece and the system calls every pitch. The second version is a essentially a challenge system where the pitcher, catcher, or batter can challenge a certain number of times during the game, and you know the umpire instantaneously gets the answer again through an earpiece. The system is tremendously accurate. It really is. Unlike the pitch clock, there is more potential for consequences that we need to really study. You think about it, the umpires right now call essentially an oval strike zone. If you look at factually what they call, the automated system calls the rectangle that the rule book sets out. And you got to understand, and we need to understand thoroughly what the impact of that is before we go any further.
Yep.
The second thing I'd say to you, we're digesting a large amount of change this year in an institution that has not been particularly embracing of change.
You could say that.
You kind of think about that a little bit.
Okay.
Just in terms of timing, and when do you bite off another issue?
That's a good way to put it, that there's a lot going on this year. Let's see how it all lands. And then so that's when you'll maybe address this down the road after you see everything that you put in place here.
But, Rich, I would be less than candid if I didn't say, I have a lot of advocates in the game for the automated system. I mean, there's no question about that. And the system is very good and very accurate. We just need to make sure we understand everything it does.
Commissioner Rob Manfred here on the Rich Eisen Show. One of the last things I want to bring up with you is the owner of the New York Metropolitan, sir. And his spending is a way that I can't recall anything close to what Steve Cohen has put out there. And the luxury tax system, it does appear that there's an owner in Major League Baseball that's just doesn't particularly care. I mean, I know I'm talking about another man's money here, but there's a 9-figure luxury tax bill, and that's larger than some payrolls of entire teams. And I'm just wondering how that's landing within the ownership group that you might be willing to share with us, Commissioner.
Well, look, I think it's important to start from the proposition that, we made an agreement with the MLBPA that puts a certain system in place.
Mm-hmm.
That system is designed to create certain disincentives to spending at certain levels. But everything that Steve's done is completely within the rules. He has every right to do what he's done. I think that it does, when you have somebody who steps out that far, it does highlight an issue that we have worked to manage over the entire time since I started in baseball in 1988, and that is the disparity in revenues between our markets and the consequential disparity in payrolls. We sell competition, we want everybody to be able to compete, and at some point, the level of disparity, raises questions about people's ability to compete. So, I think that those two thoughts kind of bound the issue for me, one side and the other. And, we're going to continue to try to make adjustments to our system as we move forward to make sure that we preserve that perception of competitiveness across our markets.
Commissioner, I appreciate the time here on the program. I love the new spots that you put out with what Brian Cranston, Sebastian Maniscalco, Tim Anderson, I think I saw, with Blake Snell, another one about the new rules. My favorite one is Vogelbach thinking of stealing a base now because of how large the bases are, and Buck Showalter saying don't do it.
Daniel has some kind of personality that really comes through in the spot. And, they're not the whole group of them taken together are probably not your traditional baseball spots. And we think that's a good thing.
Well, I remember about the commercials about the long ball and who used to dig them. I remember that back in the day from when I was on ESPN. And, we were thinking of airing some of these spots on this program. But my crew is pushing back, saying we don't have the rights. So I figured I'll ask the commissioner here for express verbal consent. Just air one of them today.
Can I tell you something? If you need it in writing, we'll get it for you in writing. You want to show the spots, Rich? We're good.
Okay. Just want to make sure. Okay. No, I don't. Look.
You will not hear a word from us. I promise you that. Okay.
Sounds good. I just wanted to make sure. Because I hear that disclaimer all the time, my entire life. I figured, well, I have the commissioner on, I just get the express verbal consent, and we're cool.
Okay. Well, you can assume we've taken care of that, okay?
Thank you, sir. We'll check that box, and right. Appreciate the time. Thanks, Commissioner.
Thank you, Rich. We'll talk to you again soon.
Same to you. That is the Commissioner of Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right. We have express verbal consent.
Yes. Now, does this apply only to the commercials, or can we show baseball clips now the whole season?
What, like we're John Boy?
Pretty much.
Because he just said he's not going to.
No, he said if it's the commercial spots, we're good.
I heard him say, Rich, you use whatever you want. That's kind of for the rest of the season. No. That's how I interpret it.
I don't know if we're going to do that. I don't mean to.
I thought you said you was okay, Spider.
Yeah. You want to take advantage of my relationship with the commissioner of Major League Baseball? How dare you?
You didn't ask about that.
It's not, again,
I didn't ask about the swag. No, Mike, I'm sorry.
It's not for us. It's for them.
I did ask about the Metropolitan's owner.
Yeah.
About Steve Cohen. And his answer's like, you know, I don't think he would share that. Yeah. Other owners are kind of pissed right now.
I understand.
There's an owner of Major League Baseball who does not care.
That's on them. They got to step their games
according
up.
Is it Spotrac? What is it? Spotrac?
Spotrac? I say Spotrac.
Yeah, I think we all say Spotrac.
I don't know. I think it's because it's supposed to be sports, right? So it's Spotrac. I would call it Spotrac. By the way.
Yeah, you can go either way.
I was today years old the first time I heard it was called Vrbo and not VRBO back in the day.
Vrbo?
Yeah. So Vrbo. The Mets' current tax bill is $100,070,000.
Oh, what's that?
And 249 cents.
That ain't nothing.
He made that today.
According to this website,
so much.
That is more that the Mets payroll tax
is more than how many teams?
Is more than, you want to guess?
I'm gonna say
at least 17.
12.
You want to do Price is Right rules close without going over?
Yes, always.
Okay. All right. So you say 12. Mike, you say? You say?
Mike, don't just 18. Look at me.
8? 18? Okay. Ooh, you see 12, nice. 18, and what do you say?
My initial bid was 17, so I'm going to stick with that.
Okay. The actual retail teams are 5.
Oh. I should have done 1.
Royals, Reds, Pirates, Orioles. The Oakland Athletics' current payroll is $61 million.
What a joke. What are they doing?
Oh, I was the opposite.
The league average is $175 million of payroll.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Or $75 million more than the Mets' payroll tax. So if you've got an owner, to what tax? I don't care.
I mean,
everything goes back to movies and pop culture for me. And I know I'm making a very, very arcane reference here. I don't know if you ever saw the Woody Allen movie, Broadway Danny Rose.
Oh, yeah,
I don't think you ever saw that. There's a scene where there are two, you know, wise guys arguing with each other about money means nothing to them. Like, what? They start ripping up $100 bills. That's what this owner of the New York Mets is. Doesn't care. Doesn't care, and would have made more. Would have gone even more if Carlos Correa's physical came back a certain way. Yep. He was ready to throw more on it.
Yeah, that was the baseball gods telling us to hold out for Ohtani.
Enough's enough.
No, that was telling us to
hold
out
for Ohtani. Got it. Well, I mean, and that's the sense that everybody's watching the World Baseball Classic and saying, you know, when he decides to finally leave the Angels, which is a supposition. It's, you know. The Yankees have a ton of money. The Dodgers have more money than you know what. The Dodgers have reset their luxury tax. Their luxury tax right now is just a mere $2.8 million bucks.
Wow.
And apparently that's what I was told. That's the reason why the Padres went all crazy.
Right.
Their luxury tax bill is $10 million bucks, despite going all crazy, giving 13-year contracts out to everybody. And you know, one's coming for Juan Soto at some point.
You'd think. They have a 2-year window.
And the reason why the Padres went for it this year is they know that the Dodgers weren't going to spend like crazy because they were resetting their luxury tax. That's the way it was described to me. And then And then the Dodgers are set for Ohtani. But it doesn't matter if you've got a guy who just will basically rip off any check that it matters. If anybody could pay him $600 million in over 10 years, it's this guy. Or $600 million over eight.
What's
That's why I wanted to ask him.
18?
And of course he's not going to sit there and say, you know, owners are pissed. But he did say everything that he's doing is by the book.
Yeah. Real-time net worth of Steve Cohen, 17.5.
There you go.
$1 billion.
What's $100 million to cousin Stevie? You know what I'm saying?
And in an unrelated...
Find that in the jacket pocket.
In an unrelated story, Bobby Axelrod's character is coming back to billions. Let's take a break here on the Rich Eisen Show. And in our, I'll just say for the radio audience, in our Roku channel... only segment. The Daniel Vogelbach commercial, we now have expressive verbal consent to run. Right now, it's next.
Clips all year. Let's go.
Monster.com can help you tackle the job hunt and make your next career move. In football and in life, there's the regular season and then there's the playoffs. Monster.com knows that scoring your next job, that's a playoff moment. To bring your A game, you need Monster.com. Looking to change positions and join a new team? Monster can help. Monster.com has millions of job openings and great coaching and career advice for a strong performance when it counts. Plus, when you upload your resume to Monster.com, you can be recruited by employers before they even post their jobs. Monster.com specializes in building the right teams for employers and knows how to match you with those job fits. When you score the position, Monster.com's salary calculator ensures you're paid what you're worth. The regular season is history, and we all know the playoffs are no time for messing around. It's time to get off the sidelines and go to Monster.com and win the job hunt. Monster.com. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1/4 moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Let's go to our phone lines. Terzo and Iowa, all rise.
All right.
Terzo and Iowa back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Terzo?
I'm doing well, guys. I'm doing well. Hey, Rich, this story with Lamar, man, it's just kind of make me shake my head. And, you know, I'm all good for anybody going out and trying to do something on their own without any help. But the thing is without having an agent and asking for that help, you're asking some random guy to go and do this. And it just puts such a bad taste in my mouth that it's like you're throwing your great brand just away for something like this. I just think that having that agent there, hell, I'd go take the test and register to do it for free for him, just so then you could have a little credibility there.
I hear you, Terzo, and again, I kind of went all in on this subject matter in the first hour, and look, we just saw the film Air, which is terrific. We're going to be all over that movie over the next week in terms of helping promote it and having some folks in studio and Zooming, and it really is a terrific film. And in it, basically, Michael Jordan's mom negotiates the shoe deal that Jordan got from Nike. And we have Sonny Vaccaro coming in studio, and I can't wait to ask him about, you know, how it, you know, word for word went down. But it's a great story. And appreciate the call, Terzo. It's a great story. And if Lamar's mom and Lamar can figure this thing out on their own and make him one of the top paid quarterbacks in the NFL, fantastic. Let's make a movie about that one day too. I think it's great. It's wonderful. And there's a reason why, though, the NFL Management Council sent out a memorandum to everybody to say you can't talk to an uncertified individual who is Lamar's, I guess, friend and business partner in a fitness equipment company. And I hope Lamar makes a ton of cash, and so does his friend Ken Francis in this company. But the way things have played out for Lamar is there's now a memorandum that's gone out that makes it seem like Lamar doesn't know what the hell's going on or doing. That's a problem for him. Certainly it's branding when you're branding within your own league here. That's a problem for him, because when you go to another team and you knock on another team's door and you ask them for an offer sheet for your services to say, I'm willing to play for you, whether it's you doing it or your mom doing it or a representative of yours doing it, certified or uncertified, when you knock on that door, you're knocking on a door of somebody who needs to, because you got the transition tag or the non-exclusive tag, now has to change their plans, has to change their concept of what they're going to do at the quarterback position, has to forfeit two first-round picks, has to go to the legal department to say, let's draw up an offer sheet, has to go to the ultimate man or woman in charge and say, you need to scratch me a check for fill in the blank. You got to assume it's for more guaranteed money than Kyler Murray took, 180-something million bucks. Got to assume that. 200 million, whatever. That person needs to have the firmness of their conviction and put their own jobs on the line and go back to their own livelihoods and their own households and say, I have made a new play at work. Well, what'd you do? Well, I convinced, you know, my boss to scratch a check for $200 million over a span of 4 or 5 years. And also, I don't, you know, I've got to sit in the draft room this year and next year when everybody's on the clock and the owner's in the back of the room, say, yeah, we don't have a pick here because it's for the guy that I just acquired. Oh, really? Who is it? Lamar Jackson. Oh, great. Terrific. I think we got a winner. Yeah. Okay. This is what you have to convince that individual to endeavor. And if it's somebody they've never heard of, if this is what's happening, that's bad news for Lamar. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Kathy in Philadelphia. Look how her name has been spelled. C-A-T-H-I.
Changed it.
Yes, indeed. How you doing, Kathy? I had no idea you were a C-A-T-H-I until I saw your bracket in the Rich Eisen Show March Madness pool.
I am, and as I'm sure TJ can attest, the struggle to find your name on a souvenir license plate is real.
Never have found one.
Mm-hmm.
Never. Like, I'm 40, Rich, and I haven't given up hope, but it's not looking good.
Okay. What's on your mind, Kathy? By the way, you're in the mix here.
I know. Well, last week and for the first half of the 32, I had actually gone all the way up to 3. So I was eyeing the mug. Okay. I was eyeing the Rich Eisen Show mug, but unfortunately I went with Marquette as the overall winner, so I don't like my chances.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
But I will say that this tournament did teach me something, Rich.
What is that?
And it's a lesson that I really appreciate, and I think I can carry over for future calls to the Rich Eisen Show. In solidarity with your Wolverines not making the tournament, I decided to not choose that other Michigan school, which did not serve me well. So the lesson that I learned was to not stand in solidarity with Rich Eisen moving forward. And I think it's better for everyone. I like my outlook. And I think it's going
to
work.
Well, Kathy, once again, you're on brand, which is to bring some energy to this program.
The ruckus.
While showing me the back of your hand attached to a body whose name I know how to spell now. And had you known, though, that I was actually rooting for Michigan State to go deep in this tournament, despite the spite that I normally have, maybe your bracket would have been a little bit better.
That's fair.
I needed to make my intentions better known. That's a bad. That's an MP, not a YP. Okay.
And Kathy, I promise you, you will find five Kathy keychains before you find one that says Temujin on it.
I promise you. But I've seen Kathy with a Y, C-A-T-H-Y, never with an I.
Very good. Thanks for the call, Kathy. Greatly appreciate it. Always great to hear from one of our favorites, Kathy in Philadelphia. You're on the show. All right, let's take a break. There's lots I want to talk about. Will Levis has shown up at his pro day with the aforementioned cannons. And
cannon, I want to show it off.
And also, before Levante David joins us, top of hour number three, I want to revisit this whole concept of more stolen bases because the bases are bigger. Because you, sir, shot me with a little side eye while I was talking to the top of the flow chart of Major League Baseball.
I don't think it's going to make much of a difference. On
Okay, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll hit that when we come back right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Back here on The Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial on the program. So we played the commercial about 20 minutes ago that we got the express verbal consent from Rob Manfred himself at the end of his interview here on this program to show Daniel Vogelbach in that commercial with Buck Showalter to highlight the fact that there's going to be more stolen bases this year that a fire hydrant, human fire hydrant like Daniel Vogelbach would even think of stealing this year because the bases are so big. And there they are. You could see it on the screen right here. I'll describe to the radio audience the old bases on the left. The new base looks like there's a pizza inside of it. And on the right side of the screen, in the bottom part of the screen there. And so the idea is, how many bang-bang plays? We just saw the World Baseball Classic, that bang-bang play with Ohtani that went to replay. Ohtani would absolutely be safe with a bigger base. Absolutely be safe with a bigger base.
Mookie Betts play, too.
And the Mookie Betts play, they were both ruled out and then overturned on, Betts was ruled out and then ruled safe.
Right.
And then Ohtani was ruled safe. And then was he ruled out or was too damn close to call?
That was a true tie.
Right, they couldn't overturn it.
Yeah.
So reason why I bring this up is I think there's going to be more stolen bases. By the way, I love the fact that the shift is gone. There's another great commercial where Tim Anderson, the hat blows off of Blake Snell's head and it lands on the right side of second base and Anderson's at his shortstop position and refuses to retrieve it for Blake Snell because the new rule is that you can't go on that side of second base. It's a funny spot.
That's mad. That's
and so I cannot wait because this World Baseball Classic was they had the shift.
Yeah, and it was bad.
It wasn't bad.
There was a lot of scoring.
I don't like the shift.
Well, I'm just talking about the final game. I've been railing against the shift, and I understand Ted Williams had a shift against him, and that the shift has been around since old Ross Hadburn or whatever, old Hoss Radburn, whatever you want to call him. And I understand I'm botching it. I can't wait till that opens up. You're going to get more people on base. The pitch clock's going to move things along. And you're going to get more people on base. And I do believe there's going to be more stolen bases. More people are going to get on base because of those bang-bang plays are going to be safe as opposed to out. And then more people are going to be safe when trying to steal second base or even third than before. Could you imagine Ricky Henderson if there was a bigger base for him?
He might have had 200 stolen bases.
But you're talking about just like 2 inches on either side. So what percentage more steals do you think
How many steals were there last year?
Do you want to guess?
No, I wouldn't even know to guess. Go
almost ahead. 2,500.
Okay.
So there's 2,486.
2,486.
So even if you're talking about 10% more,
so 200,
that's 2,700 steals.
10% more would be another 250 steals. Let's round up.
Right.
I'll take it. That's a large number.
That's a large number.
I will take it.
Well, you know, Vogelbach's getting five. I already said that.
So you're going to say
245.
I'll take it.
I just don't see much change in terms of steals. Will there be more base hits? Will there be more runs scored? A lot more action? I do believe so.
Yes.
But stolen bases just seems like I just don't think that's a
It's still a philosophy issue. And it's still a personnel issue and it's still a philosophy issue.
It's just not
issue.
How today's game is played. Like 80s, 90s, it was a much
Sit
more
back, don't get caught stealing because someone's about to hit a home run.
Right, that's today's game.
Right.
Yep.
So I just don't think that the mindset is going to
I still think that we're going to see
create
more.
A shift.
I still think I know I might be wrong here. I still think it's going to be more. But could you imagine more balls in the gap?
Well, that's going to happen.
More
we're
going
to see more guys scoring from first base on a double. Like I just think we're going to see more of that. And then, you know, we're not going to have two. Every game's not going to be 2.5 hours. Let's be honest. We get more runs scored, longer innings. You're still going to get 3-hour games. But as long as we're seeing more action, more hits, less strikeouts. There were 40,000 strikeouts in Major League Baseball last year. That is absurd.
It's too many. I know that. It's too many. And that's why you need to see fewer of them. You know, no doubt about that. But I mean, I, and the interesting thing too is, you know, you take a look at how fast things may go, right? You're taking a look how fast things may actually go, but you might see strikeouts come faster too.
Well, wasn't it, we saw, a 20-second at-bat that resulted in a strike? Didn't Max Scherzer strike a guy out in 20 seconds or something in the spring? So,
good morning, good afternoon, good night could come pretty damn fast.
You know, me personally, here's what I'm looking forward to for the three of you. On Monday, June the 19th, we come in here after the Red Sox and Yankees play, and we get to actually show clips based to the express verbal consent.
No, you keep saying that.
The commissioner gave us, and that's going to be great.
Wandy Peralta, actually, of the Yankees, had a strikeout in about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So, he got the ball back, and he threw it fast. Like, boom, boom, boom. See ya. But did it sound like the commissioner said they're going to – the home plate umpire could just – by discretion, keep the play clock wound? And what happens if that happens in the ninth inning? Because my concern is, again, that confrontations, pitcher-batter confrontations, like Ohtani versus Trout, at the end of a crucial game, are going to be pitch-clocked out of existence because it's got to go fast. And that a player needs to, like, you could see, like, Trout's used to taking his time to focus, and Ohtani was used to taking his time too. I mean, if it's Ohtani's first closing situation since 2016 or first save since 2016, when he was in the Japanese leagues, even he was just taking his sweet ass time getting back to the mound. And I didn't think a second of it until CJ Nitkowski tweeted out the next day to say, hey, every pitch of that sequence was a pitch clock violation. Did it sound like that Rob Manfred is like, look, we're not set in stone here. The umpire has the ability to just reset the clock. I mean, is that the way they're going to work ninth innings? Because I would appreciate
it. I hope that's
true. I think everybody would appreciate
that. Especially in big games. I think one of the proposals, because there was an article in The Athletic talking about how they were going to make a bunch of tweaks to some of this stuff. And one of the proposals was like, look, if the game's a blowout, then let's keep the pitch clock going.
Yes.
But if it's a 3-1 game in the ninth, then let's maybe just kind of ignore that for a second.
Certainly if we get to the ninth inning in an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah, we've saved so much time.
Like, where are we going? We're already ahead of pace. Yeah. We can afford to lose pace.
Yeah.
Although, you know, don't you want a game officiated or umpired in the same way in the ninth inning as you do for the first eight innings?
In theory.
Isn't that the way you want it?
In theory,
but it's not like that.
I mean, you don't want the whistle swallowed.
No. Well, baseball being the king of unwritten rules, I think we all just kind of hope that
I don't know
unwritten rule states that no umpire is going to call this.
I just
fraction in the ninth,
or just make it easy because you know if this is the way it's going to go, well, we'll just see how it goes. Then, you know, one game where wait a minute, I got pitch clocked out of the out of the batter's box, you know, in the second out of a ninth inning of a close game. Same night as some other umpires, like let's build the drama here.
Like I know he retired, but how would Joe West handle?
Well, Joe West had a strike count violation because he took his sweet ass time to actually lift his arm. You know, can we put a clock? Could have put a clock.
Yeah. One
strike.
You know, an unintended consequence of all this, guys, is the shorter games. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, they cut off beer sales in the seventh inning?
Yeah.
Like, what if the seventh inning is like 90 minutes into the game? And suddenly you only get an hour and a half?
I don't know.
Well, then drink some beers and
I guess go someplace afterwards.
Like, what are we doing?
Get a peanut. A couple bags of peanuts.
Unintended consequence.
Give them back.
Which is
lower beer sales at games.
Just buy two at a time.
Get Manfred back on the phone.
This is important.
Swag and beers.
Yeah, we definitely have to ask about Mike's free gear.
Swag and beers. I'm with Brockman.
Just saying. I thought about that.
I don't know. I mean, I went to the – when I took Cooper to the Clipper Knicks game a couple weeks ago, and I was online, he wanted one of those pretzels.
Oh.
Oh, big jumbo.
Well, no. Oh, one of those, whichever ones with the where they.
Oh, they dip it in all kinds of stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
What is it? What's
a Wenzel's pretzel?
Are you one of those? Yeah, I think pretzel. That's what I was
saying. That's what the guy. That's what the guy. The company.
Well, whatever. That's Auntie Anne's cook. That's what calls my name in airports.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, seriously.
It's a smell.
Oh, you could smell it.
Cinnabon.
It's the butter. It's the butter.
Yeah, Cinnabon.
Anyway, I was on line for that. And I know that's the New York phrase. Some people say they stand in line.
We're in line.
Anyway, I was waiting.
Okay.
And in the middle of my wait,
somebody
from crypto.com walked up and said beer sales are over because it went from the third to the fourth quarter.
Why are you in line?
And I think they basically said, that's it. Or anybody that comes on
after
it's over, and they had to notice. Like, they should, you know what they should have is like a rope.
Yeah. I got one,
right?
They can use.
Or they could have, you know, like when you're separating your items in the checkout line.
One of those things.
A little thing.
Like, I don't need this cashier to think I'm buying your arugula, sir. So I know that's not an issue that you would have, Mike, where people would think that you're buying arugula, I would think.
No.
Lifestyle change, Mike.
So.
What are those things called? Broccoli. Is there a technical name? Is it just the divider? The
divider.
I don't know.
Give me the bar.
Yeah, you know what? I'll ask if I go to the store today.
I mean, I used There's to have, when I was a checkout guy at Walbaum's and Pathmark to try and pay for the prom back in the day on Staten Island.
You're
by the
way,
double
limousine?
Coupon days nearly put me in the hospital.
Now they don't even do that. You enter your phone number and all the coupons automatically.
Oh, by the way, and I had no idea what the difference between a Gala apple or
the apples. I was produce.
Any of the, I had no idea.
I could have schooled you.
I had so many Staten Islands.
Red Delicious.
What do you mean? What do you mean you don't know what a red apple is?
Green.
It's red. It's an apple. Ring it up.
You got to look. Those little stickers that they throw off.
They used to give me just like a wooden round stick. Right there. Oh, it wasn't like plastic.
And you were in control of it.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah, I was like, I don't even remember.
And then you'd pass it along. You'd pass it along and pass it down.
I couldn't work a register, Rich.
You know.
They weren't putting me in here.
So.
Del Tubo couldn't work a register because he talked to everybody.
I could never have checked out.
Then the line would be packed up.
I was my produce crushing pineapples and selling pineapples. We had a pineapple thing that would skew like
a pineapple thing.
But whatever.
The line would never end.
No.
What's more likely? Coming up in hour number three, Levante David as well. And we'll talk about Will Levis's pro day in a moment. Still here. Did you guys ever work at a cashier anywhere?
I did not.
Did you ever work as a cashier anywhere? I know you were putting on Jordan 1s on people's feet.
I mean, the only time I was ever a cashier was at Foot Locker when
did
I was
Did you ever sell the you know, Air Jordans to somebody?
Of course.
Okay. Yeah, finally found your love for shoes? Is that where you finally, is that where you were?
Now, my love for the Jordan started back with the Jordan 3, which was
Jordan
Spike
3.
Lee as Mars Blackman and Money, It's Gotta Be the Shoes.
Okay.
That whole era, that's when I really, so that's why Jordan 3s, as Brockman will tell you, are my favorites. I probably have about 15 to 20 pairs
so
of those.
So here's what we're going to do, because the reason why TJ's shot is as wide as it is on the Rich Eisen show is he'd like to keep showing off his kicks in hope of getting a deal out of it.
Which happened.
Okay. So again, right now we have planned for, our big dance special that we're going to have here on the Roku channel at some point in the next week or two. Sonny Vaccaro is coming in. Can we just flat out ask him to get you shoe deal?
Up. I mean, doesn't Sonny work with TJ Adidas
ones?
Now?
Huh?
I think he works with Adidas now, doesn't he?
Oh, does he really?
I don't think he's with Nike.
Oh, he's
anymore.
Gone? He's not with Nike anymore?
I could be wrong.
I've been away a long time.
Yeah. He's bounced around a bunch.
You don't sell
He
sell
don't shine Nikes no more.
No, I don't sell Nikes.
Okay.
But
so you don't want that anymore? You
never hurts to ask, though, of course.
You wouldn't want them?
Ask.
I mean, yeah, sure.
Oh, my gosh.
If we can make it happen.
We'll have your mom negotiate the deal.
Ha, No one in the wrestling business has experienced the trials and tribulations, along with redemptions and longevity, quite like Jeff Jarrett. Come along for the ride on the My World with Jeff Jarrett podcast.
They didn't really brand belts in the heyday of boxing. You know, Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard. I mean, they had them, but along comes sports entertainment, professional wrestling, and now it is truly a part of pop culture. They've just branded what it looks like to be a champion.
My World with Jeff Jarrett, wherever you listen.